This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave. Welcome to the club.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome inside the big studio here at 93.7 The Fan. Bob Pompiani is here. That's me. I've never said that before.
That like is that. You, Bob.
That is me. How would I say that? It's early in the morning. I'm liable to say anything.
Austin Bechtold is here.
Joe Starkey is not here, but he's busy being a grandfather.
Yes.
I see, and playing some golf, so he's having some of the vacation time. So, Joe, hit it straight, grip it, rip it. But how old is the grandchild?
I don't even think 1 year's old
yet.
Yeah,
so I mean, just be careful. Don't try to hit a golf shot with the baby in your hand. That's my advice for you today. We welcome you into the show today. We have a lot to get into. But I will tell you that fan text line, if you want to use that, now Austin's on it quite a bit, so you can go back and forth with Austin here. It's brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And fan Twitter is brought to you South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at SouthHillsKia.net. The fan hotline is also presented to you by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service over 50 years. So Austin, yesterday as we left, the news was just coming out about O'Neal Cruz being in the home run derby contest. And I saw that Adam Crowley had a problem with the fact that he was doing it based on his 203 average and, you know, low numbers across the board. But honestly, in this kind of competition, things have changed. And he's not the first one, by the way, who's been a non-all-star and played. So it's happened before. Cespedes did it. Vlad Guerrero did it. I think Cespedes may have won the thing, even though he wasn't on the roster. So, I mean, it's a freak show. You're trying to find guys who have the ability to hit it long, like O'Neal Cruz did yesterday when he hit one 457 feet, I think it was, in Kansas City. So if you can get those kind of guys, that's what that show's all about. I have no problem with it. Yet we did have a lot of people on social media side with Adam, who said, you know, he shouldn't be there based on everything else. You should be on the all-star roster. Well, I will say this. Ronald Acuna Jr. is on that roster, but he's missed most of the year. He came back, and he hasn't, you know, he was a fan favorite. So any way you want to put it, I don't care. I want to see the best that I can see. In the NBA, they have Mac McClung, who's won it twice, the slam dunk contest. He's in the G League. He can't even play in the league. It doesn't matter. He's got more hops than most people. So I think it's a good move by baseball, and I would not be surprised. I don't know what the betting odds are, but I would not be surprised if he wins the thing.
No, it does not surprise me that he's in it. It would not surprise me either if Major League Baseball asked a bunch of other people before O'Neal Cruz just because he doesn't have that offensive production. But at the same time, Bob, like this is the Home Run Derby is an entertainment product.
Right.
It's not like the game where you are worthy. And that was like the big thing thrown around by Crowley. Does O'Neal Cruz deserve to be in the Home Run Derby? Well, he hits the ball 122 miles an hour, the hardest that anybody has ever hit it in the StatCast era. It's about entertainment. If this was about who was hitting the most home runs, you would just put the top six guys, top eight guys in the home run leaderboard right now in the Home Run Derby. But it's not about that. So I have no problem with Cruz being there. I'm excited to see Cruz there. And the fact of the matter is, he could win the thing just based on pure talent and athleticism that he has in the box.
Plus, it's like batting practice.
Yes.
You know, so you're going to get in there. He knows where the pitches are coming. He can hit them as hard as he can hit them. And I don't have any doubt he's going to be a competitor in this, even with the guys like Cal Raleigh, who was favored to win this thing. But, man, when you hit it as far as he does, and he did last night, but in a losing effort once again, which is where we're headed to now, because the Pirates lost again. That's five in a row. You know, and again, wasted Mitch Keller. How many times have we said that this year? Mitch Keller is one of those guys. We talk a lot about Skeens and the fact that he has a 4-7 record and the fact that he has number one across the board in most every metric for pitchers, including ERA, actually number two in the league. But still, my point is he can't get a win. But Mitch Keller has been actually victimized more than Paul Skeens. He's had more quality starts that have not resulted in anything unless you consider a loss or a no decision something, because that's all he gets.
And how about Keller last night, Bob? He sticks in the game, faces an extra batter. Even Greg Brown and Kevin Young were saying on the TV broadcast, like, well, they're sticking with Mitch Keller. I like the decision. We'll see if they can get him out of this. And then, boom, he gives up a home run to a guy we've never heard of that also walks them off.
Yeah, Nick Lofton had a pretty good series so far against the Pirates. He had two home runs in this series, including a walk-off hit. And I thought it was strange in the ninth inning. But it tells you something about Isaac Mattson, that Donnie Kelly has gone to him in very high leverage situations more and more and more. And he brought in Dennis Santana to start the ninth. He got into trouble. So he brings in Mattson first and third, which is a tough position to be in. I think he was looking for a strikeout because Mattson has done that. But it tells you what he thinks of Isaac Mattson.
No, he thinks very highly of him. And I understand why. He's come in and basically been their Jared Hughes at times. Get out of a jam, find a way to induce a ground ball or strike out, whatever necessary. Mattson has been a pleasant surprise. And typically that happens like every year. Like usually you find a reliever that nobody really expected. Like Ryan Barucki a couple years ago was that. The John Holtzcomb experience was that. I just hope for Madsen's sake that he's able to continually sustain it. He's done a good job this year.
Yeah, and he's a good story, too, for how far he's come, and no one gave him really a shot, and here he is in the majors and working himself into a bullpen high-leverage role. But that brings us back to Keller because it's a big topic as we get closer to the trade deadline. More and more people are siding with the thought that Mitch Keller should not be traded, that he is an innings eater, that he is someone who's trying to put together a quality pitching staff with some unknowns yet on this staff. Yeah, talented, but unknowns. And we've seen a lot of them fizzle out. Do you keep him knowing he has 3 years left? Do you know exactly what he's making? They agreed to that contract. Or do you move him? If you move him and Jared Jones struggles when he comes back from his injury and Burrows is not what you think he is, or Ashcraft stumbles, or any of these guys we're talking about. Chandler has really struggled over the last 3 weeks down there at AAA. Do you think it's worth trading him? My answer to that is yes, because you could win with him, you could lose with him, and lose without him. You can do a lot of things. If he gets the right return, I'm not opposed to anyone being moved if you get the right return.
So here's how I view this, and I was thinking about this a lot last night watching the game. Mitch Keller would be a perfect number three in your rotation in a playoff series. And I know Pirates in playoffs is like frowned upon words to use in the same sentence in the last 10 years. But the fact of the matter is, he is a guy that if you actually can contend next year, you want around because he's consistent, at least in the first half of seasons. Last 2 years in the second half, he's blown up like a pumpkin at times. I worry about that, and I wonder what this second half will bring for him. But he's somebody who you can typically depend on and always puts together 200 innings. He, knock on wood, stays healthy. He's an innings eater, but he's also your biggest fish that you can trade at the deadline to be able to acquire something. So I think it probably would be better, because they have so much depth, to trade Keller and acquire a big-time bat or two bats, where maybe they're two younger guys right in AAA that are actually guys that you believe are going to hit, not like the Malcolm Nunez's and the Billy Cooks and the Nick Yorks of the world. But if they end up keeping Keller, I won't be knocking them. I won't be, you know, throwing eggs at houses all upset that they kept him, because he's still a really good pitcher that they could use in their rotation.
Yeah, but here's the magical word you use there, Austin, depth.
Yeah.
How do you define depth for me?
Well, and I'm the one that said I think we're overestimating how much depth they have.
And that's why I'm saying you think you have it. Again, it's more prospect-driven. You think Chandler's going to be. But hypothetically, from that point of view, you're correct. If Chandler turns out to be what we think he could be, along with Skeens and Jones comes back from injury, you put Mitch Keller in the middle of those three, you have four really good options at pitcher. They've already been terrific in pitching this year. If they had any bats, they would have probably flipped their record completely around.
Yeah,
so next year,
Balter's been good too.
Yes, and at times he should be traded, though, just because he's not going to be around. They'll find somebody like him next year. But, you know, the bottom line, though, is if it doesn't work out and you trade Keller, the depth that you think you have is not really there.
No.
If Chandler comes up and is not what what you expect him to be, or if Jones comes back and has trouble with his injury, those are two big arms that you've been counting on, hypothetically, for quite a long time. So I think it depends on the return, and this will challenge Ben Cherington. Hit us up if you have a comment about that at 412-928-9370. Who else on this roster do you think would bring the biggest return? If you were Ben Cherington looking at, and take Skeens out of it, because that's not going to happen, but anyone else, who would bring the biggest return?
Well, first on Chandler, one quick note, a little bit of optimism is his last start was on the 4th of July. He brought out the fireworks, 6 innings, 5 hits, no runs, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts. So walk numbers down, strikeout numbers in a good spot. He did walk 4 in his previous outing before that. So a little bit better in his last outing, but still some areas of concern. Who would be traded?
Who would get the most? Of anyone on this roster, who do you think would bring the most back?
Keller and just because I think a starting pitcher with years of control is more valuable than a reliever with a year and a half left, whether it's Santana or Bednar, Keller would command more.
How about Reynolds?
See, I don't think they're going to trade Reynolds. I just don't. And I don't think it would be like a flat-out salary dump either that they would want to move him. That would also be counterintuitive to the whole point here, that they need to add offense, and they trade the guy that has been their most consistent hitter over the last 5 years.
Unless they got some offense and more of it younger in return.
Well, why would you trade Reynolds right now when he's only hitting .230?
Because he has 5 years of control and a number that's very, very franchise-friendly. And if someone is – you know how injuries go. You get near this deadline, if you're missing somebody in the outfield and you need a bat, somebody they tend to overpay. This is going to be a seller's market.
Right.
There's a lot that you can do. People are going to want certain players because there's so many teams competing for these wild card spots. The one thing the wild card spot has done is made it almost yearly a seller's market at baseball time because there are a lot of teams involved and a lot of teams have thoughts about winning. So we'll see. 412-928-9370 is that number to call. But it was another game last night where I thought they were going to win the game after they took the lead. We saw a home run by Nick Gonzalez. He's been very good for them.
Very good.
He and
the solid hitter, Bob. Consistent.
Even his outs are hard hit.
Yeah, he hits the ball hard. He finds gaps. He's not going to hit a lot of home runs. He plays pretty decent defense, too. He's just a good baseball player.
Right.
Good fundamental
no question,
baseball
player. But he should not be batting cleanup when he does
no.
it. That's another indictment of where this offense is. 412-928-9370, your thoughts on that. I don't know if you saw last night. Every day, you never know what you're going to see in sports. And last night, we saw something we've never seen before. Do you know what it was?
I think I do.
I think you do. You do your research.
I think I do.
So the first time ever, we saw an inside the park home run on the first batter of a game.
Yes. And
then a walk-off three-run inside the park home run in the bottom of the ninth inning by Patrick Bailey of San Francisco. I think it was Lawrence Butler for Oakland. Never saw that in one day.
No. I mean, how often do you get an inside the park walk-off home run to begin with? You know, didn't Roberto Clemente do it once?
Well, he actually did better than Patrick Bailey.
Wasn't it a grand slam?
Grand slam, yeah. Walk-off inside the park grand slam. I mean, I never thought, and it may never be challenged again. That still stands today as the number one walk-off inside the park home run. It was a grand slam by Roberto Clemente, but last night it was Patrick Bailey. And you know what it takes. You're playing in San Francisco. They have the outfield, which has different angles to it. The ball caromed in the wrong direction for the Philadelphia Phillies, and it allowed Bailey, who's not exactly fleet of foot, to get all the way around the bases. And 2 walk-offs in one night. That's something that you just don't see too much of. 412-928-9370. I have a question for everyone. How much depth do the Pirates really have in pitching? Let me know what you think. I'd like to hear your thought about and what it means to have depth. You can have prospect depth, but do you actually have legitimate, bona fide depth? And if so, would you be willing to trade Mitch Keller at 412-928-9370? I have some interesting things here that I've been trying to gather here, Austin, that I think are good talking points. One of them has to do with NFL coaches and who's going to be fired first. There's a list that came out that I saw, and I thought it was interesting because last summer, this one bet site, Sports Betting AG, predicted that Robert Saleh and Dennis Allen would be the first two, or at least the betting odds were those two would be fired. And they were, in that order. So who do you think heads the list this year in NFL coaches who would be first to be fired?
Probably Brian Daboll in New York.
That's correct.
Number one.
4-1 odds that he would be. And, you know, that's the team that Russell Wilson's going to go to. If he plays or not, we don't know. Mike McDaniel is second at 5-1. They got bad things going on there in Miami. He was brought in here, and everybody thought he was some, you know, brilliant.
Yeah, boy wonder.
Coach, the boy wonder, all the metrics, everything else. And now things aren't working exactly as they Shane Steichen is next in Indianapolis. Kevin Stefanski, which is a name I didn't expect just because he's two-time coach of the year. They seem to love him in Cleveland. They give him 9,000 quarterbacks. That's not his fault. He's 13-2 after that. Nowhere on this list is the name Mike Tomlin. They list just about everyone. No Mike Tomlin.
No, I mean, he's completely safe. And the actions that the Steelers have shown, giving him an extension last year, it just kind of proves that. And the only thing is, if maybe they have a bottoming out season, I don't see it that plausible right now he's on any hot seat.
No, and quite frankly, he signed a 3-year deal. They're comfortable with what they have in both Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin, so that's not going to change. I do think this could be a very interesting year and one that could work in their favor. And if so, they will be the talk of the NFL. I think they already are with the acquisition of DK Metcalf, followed up by Aaron Rodgers, followed up by Jalen Ramsey. They put together a big name list. Whether that list can produce what they want, we will see. But I think people are going to be aware of the Steelers. And if Aaron Rodgers does get time, there's enough left in that arm that can make a difference. He can be somebody who puts up the kind of numbers that's necessary for this offense to take a giant step forward. You know, that's out there. That's a possibility. It could also go the other way, too. There are too many ways this thing can go with Aaron Rodgers. But I think it's interesting to watch for 1 year, and it's a one-year-only situation. I see Mike Florio on Pro Football Talk suggested that the Steelers tell Aaron Rodgers not to go on the Pat McAfee show anymore.
Yeah, but then again, Bob, like if he does that, like if the Steelers demand that of Rodgers.
They would, first of all, they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't demand it.
No. Would that already be like setting up for a bad relationship? You know, like wasn't that what kind of derailed the Russell Wilson experience? Things got dicey. They couldn't work it out. And it ultimately led to a divorce. If they ended up doing that with Rodgers and they're already setting these significant boundaries before they even completely start dating, there are going to be problems. Right?
Well,
don't you think?
But I also think he is who he is. He has that deal with him. He does it. I would hope that if Aaron Rodgers is going to say something against a teammate, which he's done before on that show, that he would confront the teammate first and foremost. You know, just go to him and say, hey, this is – there's nothing wrong with that, as a matter of fact. When you have a position like quarterback, you have to be the guy who's going to be the communicator, the leader, the guy who demands respect and accountability. And if you do that first, if you talk about it, so be it. I mean, certainly Ben had his day when he had a show here on our station that he was not shy. And I think it's good, actually. I think it's very interesting. It's must listen to. You know, one thing, every time Aaron Rodgers is on Tuesday, I think people will be listening. So we'll find out. But I think, you know, once you bring Aaron Rodgers in, you're telling yourself, you know, there are going to be some sort of distractions along the way, potentially.
Yeah,
as
you know
long as he
getting.
Delivers, it doesn't matter to me.
Right.
And that's what we're counting on for 1 year. And for 1 year, it's not a big deal. If this were multi-years, I'd have an issue with it, I think, given his age. All right, let's get to the phone lines. We have people. I asked this question about pitching depth. What is it? Who would you trade? What do you do if you're Ben Cherington? We got a good list here, Austin.
Yes, the Pompulus always responds to you, Bob. No doubt about it. Here is Mark in the car.
Hey, Mark, what's up?
Hey guys, good morning.
Good morning.
Wanted to talk about how the Pirates, like organizationally, definitely overestimate their depth at pitching. Especially, I could have sides of the argument of dealing Mitch Keller at the trade deadline to get bats in return because they clearly need them. But as far as overestimating their prospect depth, I think is what is the big issue here, because I think the story going into this year was, well, how soon is Bubba Chandler going to come up here? And we've seen him, I'm not going to say regress, but he's definitely not looked as strong as he did at the beginning of the season down in AAA. So I definitely think something like that should be dealt at the trade deadline, along with relief pitchers like Bednar and definitely Santana to try to get more bats, because clearly that's what they need right now to even be in any sort of contention for a wild card spot, if that is even possible.
So you're saying you would trade Bubba Chandler?
I would trade Bubba Chandler just because, not just because of recency bias of how he's definitely slipped, but I think for what that they need right now and moving forward years to come is you need hitting. They don't have it. They're losing all these 1-0 games and 1-run games and everything like that throughout the year just because their hitting isn't consistent. They go on these streaks of, oh, well, we scored 37 runs in 4 games. That's all great and awesome that they broke a record for however many games it was. But now we're back to them back to being on a 6-game losing streak, or soon to be, you know. And I think you just have to find consistency in that. And dealing Mitch Keller, I get it. But if you bring bats in, it will justify his, you know, his contract, which you already know what he's making. He's been reliable. It's just he just doesn't have the run support needed, along with Skeens, to get the job done on these close games.
All right, Mark, thank you. You know, there are people who believe that's the way to go. And before anyone actually sees Bubba Chandler and what he can do up here, most people, scouts and other organizations, would agree that he is one of the top prospects in baseball. And for that, you can get some offense, you would hope. I saw Roman Anthony had his first major league home run. We were talking a lot about him. Do you remember back at the beginning of this, Austin, where he was a guy who one-for-one trade for Mitch Keller?
Yeah, or Bubba Chandler.
Bubba Chandler, one-for-one.
Top pitching prospect.
If you watch his swing, and they had some MLB Network broke down, and they said it's one of the most perfect swings that they've ever seen, reminding people of, I think Andy Van Slyke here had one of the best swings. Do you remember when he was in the box? I mean, I thought it was one of the sweet swings in baseball.
Well, don't people say that, like, the left-handed swing is, like, the most pure swing that you can get?
Yeah.
Like, if it's smooth and just compact through the baseball, it's just better than any right-handed swing possibly could be.
So you would trade Mitch Keller? Or, I mean, Bubba Chandler, if you had a chance?
I would rather trade Keller than Chandler, just at the whatever the right price is. I still believe that Chandler's going to be really good. He's just going through some bumps in the road. And, I mean, he at times struggled with walks in Double-A too. So it's not like, I mean, I guess this is a counterpoint to, you know, maybe against my argument, but he has dealt with walks at times too. But as a power pitcher, 99, 98 miles an hour, I don't know if it's necessarily surprising. He just has to hone it in.
Raymond in Pittsburgh is on the line next. Let's go out to him. Hello, Raymond.
Good morning, Bob.
What's up?
I also believe that that we should do something and move an arm. I think the strength we have as pitching, we're overestimating it because of the success that our pitchers have had and the terrible batting that we've put out there makes the pitching look that much better. So I think we're just focused on that much more. But having said that, I believe the arms are fragile. And, yeah, the old adage that you can't have enough pitching is very true. But at the same time, I would move somebody, and not Keller. I would move one of the younger guys, whether it's Chandler or Ashcraft, simply because no one has seen them fail yet. And they are at the highest point of their value before we've seen them.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of thoughts about that. You see guys do it all the time in other organizations. They trade some of their top pitching prospects. I saw a story the other day that indicated that of the people in the last 5 years who have been top 10 pitchers, at least on prospect numbers here, weren't in the majors but were close and were ranked in the top 10, I think there were 13 of them moved and only 10 have reached their ultimate value, which is to be consistent pitchers in the major leagues. So, you know, that's to your point. You know, they look good now. What will they look like in 2 years from now? Will they be exactly what you thought they would be? And if that were the case, you'd keep them all and just have them pitch, right? It would be an easy thing to do. Well, this guy looks great. He's ranked number 5 on our prospect list. He's going to be a star. Well, we've seen that doesn't always work. So, thanks, Raymond. Appreciate the call. I the more I think about it, the more I would be in favor of doing something like that if I could. Guys who have not yet been up here in the majors, guys who still are valued because they are, quote, blue-chip prospects, and there are organizations out there who may like it. Now, the problem is the people who want that, they're very limited. The people who want current players to help their rosters are the teams that are going to be wanting to make these trades, the teams that are dealing with playoff possibilities. They don't want prospects. What they want are legitimate arms. And that's why it would be hard to move some of those guys, I think.
Here's a tweet from a very frequent tweeter to the show, Presto, saying that he thinks Keller's value has actually never been higher and that it's pretty well known he's going to be one of the best arms available to teams that are desperate for the number three on a World Series contending team that's super consistent. Also thinks that because it's such a big seller's market, there's no reason why they can't get a top five prospect in someone's organization for him, somebody that's getting blocked in an organization that's actually ready for the bigs.
And I think that's a good point. I think that's what Ben Cherington and his staff should be doing. Should be looking at teams that have a lot of depth, that are needing starting pitching, someone of the caliber of Mitch Keller who could come in and really make a difference on their roster for right now to try to win, and try to get those players. Hopefully there'll be like three or four teams interested in Mitch Keller, so you could, you know, really move that price up a little bit and try to get as much as you can. Because Ben Cherington knows he's going to be judged very harshly on this if he's still around at the end of this year. This trade, what they get, and you know how, and for them, I want players. I want players who are currently either in the majors, have been in the majors, younger guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Hey, I want to remind you to listen to Pomp and Joe Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at 12 p.m. at 937thefan.com. Contesting page and the general will join us today. And we have to think about who we would pick as our card. This always catches me with not much time to think about. When Joe asks, I forget. And so this gives us an hour. Do you have any thoughts about who might be the card of the week?
Do you think they do tennis cards, Bob? Because this Ben Shelton guy at Wimbledon,
he's been terrific.
He's been really good. He's in the quarterfinals, the American at Wimbledon.
He's taking on number one. And Mr. Sinner is not an easy opponent. That guy's been winning a lot lately.
Look, I'm not going to act like I know anything about tennis, but I do think it's been pretty cool. A lot of the social media flair that he's been getting. He's, correct me if I'm wrong, he's dating Dennis Rodman's daughter.
I've heard that. Not that I delve into too many dating rumors, and then, but
I guess he also made a discussion in like one of his speeches after one of his matches that his sister had to work the next week at like Morgan Stanley, and then they ended up giving her the week off to watch him play at Wimbledon.
Well, I mean, that's a good reason to have some time off to go watch your brother do what he has to do. He is a lefty. He's really good. And watching him take on Sinner early on here, it's only in the first set. and it's the first game. But that's a tallest assignment, but he's worked his way up to being 10th. You know, Wimbledon is one of those bucket list things for me. I don't know about you. Is it a bucket list? Because would you go? I would go there. I know it's expensive to go, and I know some days you have to sit through a five-hour match.
That's a lot.
It is, but if you get into it, it's really engaging. You know, I love it, watching it on television.
I would go just for the experience, but I don't know how much I would enjoy it. I'm just not a big
If you're not a tennis fan, tennis then you don't want to go. No. But if you do like that sport, I think that's one of the best places to go to watch it. 412-928-9370 is the number. We got callers on the line. Who do we go to next? I think we're going to go to Bill.
Let's go to Bill.
Yes,
Bill is in
Bill
Baldwin.
Bill in Baldwin. What's up, Bill? How are you?
How you doing, guys?
What's up?
So I think that the best route for the Pirates to go is to try to do a bit of a package deal on our end. Maybe package an Ashcraft or a Burrows with a David Bednar to a pitcher-hungry team. But you got to target power. Like you can't just – power that's going to be up here next year. We have some gap hitters on the team now. You need some guys that can hit the ball over the fence. Maybe target Seattle, their outfielder, outfield prospect. His name's slipping my mind right now. Lazaro Montez, who's a 60 on the power grade there. If you can maybe package two of our current pitchers and get some power that's coming up next year, I think that's the way to go.
So you're talking about prospects, though, right? You're talking about
Sorry, Bob. He's due in 2026, according to MLB Pipeline. So he's in AAA now. He's coming up next year. You can plug him right into an outfield, corner outfield position, and hopefully have some pop in his bat.
Well, if it's a prospect like that, then Ben Cherington better make sure that guy is going to be here even before then, because they need the help right now. See, Bill, I'm looking at this from a window that's open for them right now, potentially, with Skeens as the centerpiece of it. And I think we've seen this year as evidence. They have pitching to contend. They don't have hitting. So instead of going for prospects, and I understand that guy's, as you described, is very highly thought of, but if he's not going to be here until later next year, potentially. I don't know if that helps you right now. You only have so much time with Paul Skeens before they have to trade him, because they won't sign him, even though I think they should sign him. And I brought this up the other day. If Kansas City can give Bobby Witt $377 million, why can't the Pirates do that to Paul Skeens or anything like that? That's simply a choice.
Well, Paul Skeens accept $377. He might be a $500 million
okay,
kind of guy.
Okay, whatever the case. At least try, I mean, if the thought of – because if you're operating now – and this was brought up by Austin just now in the break, that 2 years ago to the day, Paul Skeens was drafted. And what have the Pirates done in those 2 years with Paul Skeens here? And are you just going to waste the years altogether, or do you want to try to do something right now with him here? Yeah. And they've had the pitching. The hitting stinks. And quite frankly, I'm more interested in somebody on a roster right now who could be a younger player. And I'm going to use this example. I know you'll never get him, that Crow Armstrong in – Chicago, a young kid like that, who can come in, and they're not going to trade him. He's an all-star. He's young. They got everything they want in their outfield right now. But you know what I mean? I want to see a guy who's on a roster who has real upside already. We've seen it at a younger age, if I'm going to make these deals. Because I want to try to win with Paul Skeens.
I just want power. I want power. We need a guy that can hit the ball over the fence.
Yeah, absolutely, or at least gap to gap. Any way to drive runs in. They're just they come up so many times with so many failed situations with runners in scoring position. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate that. And, the other thing, and this is why I don't want to get too carried away with certain players. Last year after Joey Bart's season, people were thinking that Joey Bart was going to be this 20 home run guy. He has one home run this year, and he's not been good in clutch situations with a bat. Henry Davis hasn't either, but at least he has four home runs. He has a little bit more pop that I've seen. It looks good sometimes when you make these moves originally. Then as time goes on, you realize they're not what you thought they were.
No, and that's the thing about Joey Bart, too, that kind of surprises me. Like, the fact that last year, maybe it was just a one-off, Bob. Like, maybe what Bart put out there altogether was just a good run that sometimes players can have, like a one-year spurt where he clearly has the talent. He was the number two overall pick. But now it just seems like whether it's the injury that he suffered earlier this year, remember he went through a concussion and he was out for longer than the 7-day designated period. Something just kind of seems off with Joey Bart, especially at the plate. He just looks behind everything.
Yeah, and he had plenty of opportunities in that Seattle series and could not come up with a big hit. So this is 2 years since Paul Skenes, and you asked me, what have they done? My answer was nothing. You have the same answer, correct? They haven't done anything to try to help or support him.
No, they have not. 2 years to the day that Skenes was drafted, and they seemingly are in the exact same position. Exact same position. Maybe a little bit better. Their pitching staff is better. Hitting, probably worse.
All right, who's next on the hotline? We have a lot of people up there.
All right, let's go to Gary in Gibsonia.
Hey, Bob. Gary, what's going on? How are you?
Good, Bob. I'm trying to get some time in before the grandkids hit next week. We're at three coming out of the five.
Oh, you know how that goes. You'll be looking for B12 shots to get more energy.
Yeah. Right now I'm actually taking a long walk because it's going to be all kids all the time, which is going to be great.
Oh, it's awesome,
Hey, real quick, no Keller again. What they need to do is, I'm so fearful it's going to be a reverse of Glasnow, Meadows, and Baez, Shane, Baz. And
you can't be worried about that, though. You know, I mean, if you're worried that Ben Cherington is not going to make a good deal, that's legit because he hasn't made one really for high leverage players.
Exactly, and this is the point I'm going to make. They need to get rid of as much of the salaries that they have. And I love these players, don't get me wrong, but in essence, since our owner's not going to spend more and Cherington shouldn't be here next year, I think what I would do is I would get rid of Bednar, I'd get rid of Connor Filippo, who I like both of those players, and also even Hayes. And then obviously Pham, when you start adding up there, you're close to $25 million of freed up money. And I know people are going to say, well, what's the return? I don't know what the return's going to be. I think the main thing would be to get money for this upcoming year where you can get two bats and can at least pay 15 to 20
million. But
Gary,
they have money. They just don't spend it. He could spend it. You don't have to go through this whole process to get to free up space. There is no such thing in baseball. It's your choice. Do you want to spend it or not? He could spend it.
But if Nutting is only going to spend $100 million or less a year, then what you have to do is you're going to have to have wiggle room in there. And if you want bats, and the other thing that you brought up was a great point. We have Skenes for only 2 years at the max. Look at Cole. We only had him for 4 years. And he's going to be, we'll get a full year next year. And the following year, unfortunately, and this is unfortunate, they're going to either trade a mid-year or not.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a limited time here. That's all my whole point about you got to do what you got to do when you have a chance to do it. And even if it's just for a few years, go all in to make it happen. And they haven't done that in 2 years. So they've wasted essentially a year and a half with him. If you're going to keep him around, do something. Do him a favor. Get him what he needs. Get your team what they need. They've been competitive enough in these games. One-run games have been a ton of them, and they've lost most of them, mostly because they have no hitting.
Bob, can I ask you one quick question? Everybody keeps bringing up we owe Skenes something, and I think Skenes is a phenomenal player. He's going to be, hopefully, I'd say a Hall of Famer. But, you know, when you look at Tom Seaver, his first year with the Mets, they lost over 100 games. Second year, they lost close to 90. And the only thing I keep hearing from people, we owe Skenes. No, we owe Pittsburgh, the fan base, and him, of course. We owe him as well, but the whole team. We really are owed a winning team. And I just get a little bit lost in this, we owe Skenes. I mean, he made $8.9 or $8.7 million.
When I say that, and thanks for the call, Gary, have a good time with your grandkids too. I think what we're saying is you owe it to the organization to supply Skenes with – and when I say organization, I'm talking about the city as well, the whole ball of wax here. In order to make this work, you have to do stuff to add to a generational type of player. And they have not done that. And they've had opportunities to do that. So until that changes, and a better change in this offseason, if you go through the same thing and they spend $30 million on six free agents total, you know what you're going to get at 412-928-9370. All right, we got who's next, Jim? Or is this General that I see? Is that the real General?
The General is on, but first let's go to Jim in the South Hills.
All right, Jim, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, Bob and Austin? Two quick comments. Number one, I wouldn't trust Ben Cherington to make any trades at all. It's unfortunate, but what I would do is just have him get rid of the 1-year contracts and and terminate him. They probably should terminate him before the trade deadline, but that's why I wouldn't trust him to do any more trades.
Well, and thanks, Jim, because I think that is a point that, you know, should be considered, and they should have probably done it when they did Shelton if they were unhappy with the way things were going, because I think that's more than the manager. It's the general manager. And look, Donnie Kelly all of a sudden is in the same boat. You can make all the magical moves you want, but if you don't have enough talent, you're not going to get anything done. And, you know, if he's doing these trades and if he makes trades and he hurts the organization even more, the next general manager who's going to be in this boat knows that that's a tough thing to turn around, even with Paul Skeens on your roster. You know, Austin, you can't if you're going to do things this trade deadline, they better all work out.
Well, they better hit, and they mostly – I don't know. What would you say the hit percentage has been for the current administration?
On trades?
On trades and, like, free agents and stuff like that. Are we talking like 30%?
No. Maybe even less than that on trades.
I mean,
what trades have they made to make you think that they've gotten the better of the trade?
Bart for nothing was a good trade.
But that was a waiver. Again, that wasn't even a trade necessarily. He was let go by them. They picked him up.
Yeah, it basically was for nothing. The Vogelbach for Colin Holderman deal looked good for a while. And I mean, I think it still did because you ended up getting more out of Holderman than you did for Vogelbach, but now Holderman is
but that's a minuscule trade. That I'm talking about big trades. That
they haven't made big trades other than Starling Marte and Josh Bell.
Well, and Joe Musgrove, and yeah, and I mean they've had names that they've traded. They haven't gotten much in return for those names.
No,
and that includes Garrett Cole. You know, they haven't gotten enough. In
that
these
was the
deals.
Old regime, but
well, whatever. The point is, it's still
well
under
enough.
The Pirate umbrella of trades. They just haven't made good trades. And if you're going to do it, you got to hit on the trades. And again, I'd like to see players who already have some taste of major league so we have something to go on other than some blue chip prospect that we talk about who's due to arrive in 2026.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
I'd much rather see that, but how often do you see player-for-player trades where it's major league talent going back for major league talent? Like, it happens more than in the NFL, where we were so blown away by the Ramsey for Minka deal, maybe just because of the substance of how good the players are. But I feel like it's mostly when these types of trades are made, unless it's like a reliever for a reliever or something, it's mostly you're acquiring prospects back. So,
but
that's
it's just
why,
the same old treadmill of stuff. That's why I don't like it. And if the prospects are going to hit, fine. But in the trade history of Ben Cherington, the prospects that they've brought have not hit.
No, they have not so, hit. The Hudson Heads of the world and the – I know you love Hudson Head.
I mean, that's one of those names that just jumps out at you.
Have you watched Hudson Head play a game, Bob? Have you gone and traveled to watch Hudson Head?
No, I won't do it either.
Will you try to interview Hudson Head for TV?
No, won't do that either.
Should we reach out to Hudson Head and see how it's going
where
for
him? Where is he? Do you know where he is?
He's in high A right now.
Is
hitting
he still
like
in high A?
He's hitting like,
how long has he been in high A? I mean, he's been in – they made that deal several years ago. And if you're still in high A, then you're basically not going to be here at any time soon. So
I'm sorry, Bob. Now he's in double A. Okay. But now he's on the development list from the Altoona curve.
How old is he? Does it say his age?
Hudson Head is now 24 years old. They acquired him at like 20.
Yeah, so 4 years have gone by, and he's moved from single A to double A in 4 years.
In Altoona this year, in 33 games, Hudson Head has 10 hits and 86 at-bats, one home run, four RBIs, and 32 strikeouts. He's hitting 116.
Or he fit right in, right? I mean,
yeah.
That's what's got to change. At 412-928-93-CENTER. So what, the General's on early, or am I just imagining this? When does he normally come on?
The General is usually on in about 5 minutes from now, but the General loves to call in very early just in case.
Should we go to the General? We can talk with him.
Your call, Bob. You're the beat writer.
The Starkey lingo is Starkey. It's definitely rubbing off on you.
Yeah, it wears off.
General, how's it going out there at your wonderful card castle?
Gentlemen, good morning. Great here at the Card Castle. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so we're trying to figure out what, and Austin asked this question. We're watching a nice tennis match between Sinner and Shelton right now, and it's a 2-2 first set situation. Do you do tennis players on those cards?
It's very sporadic. Any of the sports, golf and tennis, that don't have unions, it's a lot of legal mumbo-jumbo, but they have to go and license the players through each player. Like in Major League Baseball, they go to the union and say, hey, we'll give you X billions of dollars. You divide it up however you want, cut and dried. With those individual contractors, it's really difficult. So they don't have products quite as often. Now, Topps has come out with a tennis set in the last year. So it's apples and oranges, really. There is no season. No, there's no rhythm to when those products come out. Like with golf, they basically bring it out around when Tiger was hot. When Tiger was hot, they would license him and then fill in with the next 30 golfers. And it would be hot because of Tiger. And it's very similar with tennis.
All right. So with that said, Austin, what is your card pick of the week?
You know, I think I'm going to go with O'Neal Cruz for being in the Home Run Derby, Bob. I think that makes some sense.
That makes sense, even though some people believe he shouldn't even be in that game. That's a good one. I'm going to go now. I don't know when this trade was made last week and if it carried over. This is the first time we talked to you since I'll take Jalen Ramsey. Just because I don't know that you guys talk about this last week. Was that trade made before that Wednesday?
Yeah,
I don't remember.
I think it was.
It was made Wednesday, so we did not mention Jalen Ramsey. That's a good one. But I'm going a little more recency bias. Joe's always into this information. I'm going with a Bobby Witt rookie card. Being that we're getting to see him up close and personal, and we only get to see him once a year, basically. And believe it or not, this is what I think people might find shocking. Of non-Pirate players, we sell Bobby Witt more than anyone except Ohtani or Judge.
Really?
Really? That is. I would never have guessed that.
Yeah, the hobby has really embraced Bobby Witt. Draft picks are notorious with having to do with the power of a rookie card. Didn't hurt that his dad was a big leaguer, so his name was already recognizable. It also didn't hurt that he come and hit the ground running, and he's been a superstar ever since he came. So, and let's hope that someone else I almost brought up, and maybe we'll do it next week, is Connor Griffin. Let's hope that Connor Griffin is our Bobby Witt.
That would be great if he could come right in and play. He's on a fast track.
We'll use it. Whatever it takes to get some talent inside of the Skeens window, that's what we need. Whether it's trade or whether it's development, and development's usually too slow, but it looks like Connor Griffin might be expediting that turn. That would be exciting.
I would love to see them have a green light with him as long as he keeps doing it, keep moving fast.
That means he'd be an MVP candidate like Bobby Witt was last year.
Yeah, well, at age 24.
It's remarkable that there's even consideration to have an 18-year-old be talked about being brought up to the big leagues. Probably not this year, but, you know, you may see him early next year, which is incredible.
And that would be great. And if he's 19 and up here, that's a great story, and Pittsburgh should want that. Bob Nutting and everybody in the organization should want that quickly.
And, you know, really, that's the truth of a legitimate prospect, because when you get here when you're 27, you know, it's like that's a prospect and it's an achievement to be a Major League Baseball player. But when you burst forth and you're Ronald Acuna, Andrew Jones, Chipper Jones, and you're in the big leagues at 20 years old, you're legit.
Absolutely. And that's what they have here potentially on their hands. All right, General, thanks very much. Always good talking to you.
Thank you, guys. Yep, you have a great week.
Thanks, General.
Jeff Patton, the General. We appreciate him. And, you know, I'd love to see a Connor Griffin explosion here. Tamar Johnson's not doing so much, is he? I mean, where is he now ranked? Because you know, at the beginning of this season, I thought he was putting up some pretty good numbers. He's kind of tailed off. I haven't heard his name from anyone.
No, well, that's partly because, Bob, he's fallen out of the top 100 in Baseball America and MLB Pipeline. Like, he is currently falling down some boards.
But he's still only 20 years old, right?
Yeah, so he's 21.
21.
He's hitting 250 in AA, only a 717 OPS, 8 home runs and 24 RBIs. From a guy that was considered to be the best prep bat in the class when he was drafted in 2022.
Right. And there again is the problem with these kind of picks. You just don't know. You think you have them. Everybody talks them up, and then all of a sudden it takes forever, and you're stuck at a certain part of the organization. Hopefully he'll get it back on track, and hopefully Connor Griffin could be the guy to come up here by next year. I'd love to see that. It would certainly help out, you would think, a pitching staff that still should be strong regardless of what they do at the trade deadline. Hey, the 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township. Also, we have the weather, which is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Cloudy today. It's a high of Antonio Brown, 84. Is he still over in Dubai? Where is he? Isn't he supposed to be arrested by now?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with AB right now. He should be back in the country, but he at least was in Dubai last I checked.
Bouncing around on a trampoline, having a lot of fun.
Maybe.
I wonder who's funding all of this, because he supposedly is bankrupt. Anyway, 50% chance of rain later tonight. We'll have that probably throughout the next couple of days. Again, the weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. When we come back, open phone lines continue. We'll talk more about the Steelers and T.J. Watt and their rosters. They head into training camp. That's right. Up next on Pomp and Joe, right here at 93.7 The Fan.
And Joe, you have a message for the people.
The Good Feet Foot Arch Support System is specifically what I want to talk about here. Proudly made in the USA. Fits your own shoes. Don't have to go out and buy shoes to fit to them. They fit to you. Try it before you buy it at one of the Good Feet stores. It worked for me. Lots of pain. Joints, big toes. Didn't want to do exercise of any kind. Really, not even a walk. The pain lessened. I could tell you a long story, but that's probably what you care about. If you have any one of a number of foot maladies, from plantar fasciitis to pain and burning in the balls of your feet, whatever it might be, there's so many, and there's nothing that kills a new exercise regimen like these three words: my feet hurt. That's where the Good Feet Foot Arch Support System comes in, and that could lead to some summer fun for you, walking on the beach, things like that. Visit one of the stores. I went to Robinson Town Center across from IKEA. There's one in Cranberry Township, Route 19 North next to Walgreens, and one down in Morgantown at the Suncrest Town Center, goodfeet.com. You can read all about it. Come on in. Try the Good Feet feeling today. Comfort, energy, performance, and pain relief at the Good Feet store.
And listen to the Pomp and Joe Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Car of the Week from the Baseball Car Castle in Cranberry. As contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Oh, Bob, how about this? The system has frozen on me.
Frozen?
Yeah.
So you can't do anything?
The screen has frozen.
You have no commercials?
Which means it won't let me click anything. That's not good.
Well, that means it's time to do a filibuster. We'll just continue to talk until it unfreezes itself. Right?
Or I find a way to unfreeze it.
Well, you have the magic. You can do that. Well, since we're talking about the football team, which is coming, before you know it, training camp will be here. I think it's interesting to look at their entire roster and talk about the pluses and the minuses of what they have. And I guess if you're going to start a quarterback, rate it versus what you saw last year at this time. There was a lot of excitement last year, too, when the Steelers traded for Justin Fields, when they brought in Russell Wilson. And it didn't cost them all that much money, as you know. So those were one and two on your list. This year, one and two will be Aaron Rodgers and Mason Rudolph with a guy like Will Howard in between. So if you look at that from a plus or minus category, I think it's actually plus. I've always thought that Rodgers was a better quarterback than Russell Wilson. I think he can make the throws that are necessary. I realize his age is a factor, but I thought it was a little bit with Russell Wilson. This guy's older, so that's always a consideration. However, when you're in this situation, you're trying to win now, and you know that you don't have the franchise quarterback that you want and you may not get until next year. You got to do what you got to do, and they brought in Aaron Rodgers. So are they better in that department or not? I say yes. I think it's a little bit better, although I was on the record of saying I wanted Justin Fields to be our quarterback here moving forward, just to see what you can extract from his game.
I was originally in that boat, too. Like I never thought that Rodgers was a realistic possibility. I never took it seriously enough to basically say, because I thought it was either Fields or the field, and I didn't think that Rodgers was in that field because I thought he was either going to stay with the Jets or he was going to retire. And I know that there's been a huge love affair around Rodgers and Mike Tomlin before, but I think it was fair to think that it was never really a realistic possibility. You know, so when it did become possible, that's when I kind of became very intrigued in the possibility of Rodgers in Pittsburgh and what that could look like. But I was with you, Bob, at first. Like, I would have rather have seen Justin Fields, give him like a one-year trial, pay him what he thinks he's worth, and then if you still want to draft the quarterback, so be it. Because I don't know if Fields is a franchise guy, but I at least wanted to see the younger guy with upside than Russell Wilson, especially.
Well, I also think there may have been a bit of a disagreement within the actual coaching staff about who they wanted, who they didn't want. I got the feeling that Arthur Smith liked Justin Fields and wanted to work with Justin Fields. And I thought Mike Tomlin was in the same boat when they acquired him. He's talked long about mobility, and he has that mobility. Rodgers is anti-mobility, but he also has something that a lot of guys don't have, the ability to use his brain and his experience to really make things happen. So from that point of view, I think, you know, for 1 year, this is okay. At first, I was not looking at this as a possibility that even potentially had a chance to come to fruition, but it did. So I'm okay with it for 1 year. Rudolph will be your backup. It's a good backup to have. He's had experience in this league. He knows what he's got to do in that role. Will Howard after that, and Skylar Thompson, who won't play at all. Skylar Thompson, however, has had NFL experience as well, if needed. If it gets to that, your whole season's over. So overall, I think this quarterback department is better than it was last year. Do you agree or not?
Skylar Thompson has started games in the NFL before, Bob.
I know that.
Don't sleep on Skylar Thompson. Don't sleep on Skylar. The sky's the limit.
Will Howard has some sky the limit potential too. I know you disagree with that with me, but I like what the kid is made of, and he seems like he's very interested in learning as much as he can. He's done it at a major university, winning a national championship. Whether that means anything, we'll find out. He won't get a chance to play this year in most cases. So, but overall, you like the room versus last year's room or not?
Yeah, the room is better, and the big reason why is I think the starting quarterback is better, and if that's what matters, because that ideally is the only guy that plays, then it's good. Like Wilson, I was never the biggest advocate for coming here in the first place. I would have rather seen Fields play the full season. But bringing in Mason Rudolph, look, I was wrong on what Rudolph could be as a backup. I still don't think he's a starting type of quarterback, but he showed some good things in that three-game spurt to be able to take them to the playoffs and played okay in the playoff game. So credit where credit is due for Mason Rudolph in that area, and I think that they are a little bit better because of that.
All right, let's get into the running back department, because there you have Jaylen Warren, you would think would be the starter, although Caleb Johnson is a rookie coming in with some high upside. Najee Harris is no longer here. I think one of the more underappreciated signings they made was Kenneth Gainwell.
I agree.
He's a guy that, you know, for the price, like $1.4 million, that's a pretty good player to have at 1.4. He can do a lot of stuff out of the backfield. I do like him as a third back in this room. So they have other guys. Trey Sermon's one of them. He's a guy that you know because he had some big days at Ohio State. But I think that's a pretty good room even without Najee Harris.
And let's get into it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.